Well, this is Roy Beard with Covenant Life Ministries. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. I hope that during our time together, that the Holy Spirit will inspire our hearts to seek the face of God in a more powerful way. It's my desire to encourage you to allow the atmosphere of heaven and the culture of the kingdom become a reality in your life.
Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to have each one of you out tonight. You could have been down in Crockett here in Gary Cloud, but you didn't. Excuse me. I'm glad you came to the house of God. It is good to have my two boys with me, but it's good to have Paul and Tim. They are very, very, very important part of my life. And they're back with my mom sitting there. Glad to have them. Good to be in the house of God. I want to thank you for everything you've done to make this revival a success. And I believe that, well, in my mind and in my thinking in reference to revival, there are a lot of different kinds of revival you can have. And sometimes the providence of God is such that God moves in such a fashion as He ministers to the body of Christ in a revival more than He ministers to those that are not part of the family of God. There are times that the church just needs a building up and an edifying and a strengthening. And I believe the Lord's done things along that line here. I believe He's done some things that only eternity will tell. And I sense in my spirit some things He's done. He's not given me a liberty to even talk about them, but I feel like they're being done, and I'm thanking Him for them. Inside, I thank you for your offerings that you've given. I appreciate your giving is unto the Lord. I want to share a testimony with you in reference to giving. I waited until Friday night after the offerings taken. That way nobody can say that I was saying anything that would try to entice you to give. But a testimony of the Lord a few years ago. Now, I preach from Luke 6:38 many, many, many times, and I love to take it as a text. I also have preached from Malachi chapter 3 a number of times and various places there. And I've always believed and taught that you can't outgive God. It's virtually an impossibility to outgive God. And when you give, then it opens the windows of heaven, and God sends back in. And the same measure you use sending it out is the measure God uses sending it back in. You didn't recognize it. You didn't feel it when it left. You won't notice it when it comes back. You hear what I'm saying? Some people give in church like they tip in a restaurant. They do. We get in a restaurant, and when we get through eating, I'd say a large portion of people, their standard tip's a buck. It is. Now, like I said, you've already taken my offering, okay, I can tell you this. But we'll reach in and get a dollar, and we'll pay that tip. But I want you to know something. When you walk by the checkout stand, the cash register on the way out, you don't get by with just having left a dollar on the table. You have to pay the bill when you go out the door. Sometimes we give, and I've been guilty of that, of tipping when I should have been investing. But a few years ago, faced a $500 need. And I don't mean it was down the road. I mean a $500 need that was looking us in a few days, staring us in the face. And I had $55. I needed $500 and I had $55. And we were praying about it. And the Lord said, I want you to pay tithes on what you need. And I said, do what? He said, pay tithes on what you need. I said, Lord, I need 500. I've got 55. That leaves me 5. And He said, well, 55 is not going to do any good anyway. So I wrote out a check and went to church Sunday morning and brought the check home with me. Went back Sunday night and it like to have burned a hole in my hand. And I put it in the offering plate. And I did it cheerfully Sunday night. Sunday morning I could not have because I was still wrestling with it. Two days later, I had a person through which I had no contact walk up and give me a check for $550. 2 days later, God met my need, gave me back my $50, and I praise him for it. Now, he doesn't operate that way every time, but he did that time. And I'm telling you, you can't outgive God. You can never outgive God. I thank him for his love. Brother and Sister Reese, it's so good to see you. It's been a number of years since I was here in service with you folks, and I good to see you tonight. Good to have you in the house of God. If you have a Bible, I want to spend the next 4 or 5 hours. Matthew chapter 28, Ephesians chapter 2. And while you're turning, I will again remind you that we'll be back after the service in the room. If you want the tape, we'll be glad to make them for you. And if we do not have enough sets, I'll be glad to make them. If you can wait a little while for them to be made. If you want the four-set series on the family, it's a series on the family, on wives and husbands and relationships and children and parents and a number of things there that are based totally, completely, and absolutely in what God's Word said, not just what I think. What I think doesn't mean anything. It ain't worth a hill of beans, what I think. What God says is worth something. Now, I believe Ephesians 5 and 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I believe most of the time when we quote that verse of Scripture, we quote it leaving off what the rest of chapter 5 and all of the first 3 verses of chapter 6. And when we do that, we eliminate part of what the Apostle Paul was trying to say. And the basis for a good marriage, the basis for a good home, is to have a Spirit-filled life. Amen. Without that, you're struggling to do something you can't do. Matthew 28, verse 18, you could quote it. I'll read this short verse. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Ephesians chapter 2, begin reading at verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Father, we come to you in the marvelous name of your Son, and we thank you for the Spirit and the presence of God that's here tonight, and we ask, Lord, that you administer to every heart, open every heart, every mind, and every soul, that we would be receptive to the Word of God. I pray that you would guard the lips of my mouth, that I would say those things that you would have said, and Father, say things unto edifying to the body of Christ, and I ask that you would confirm your Word tonight with signs and wonders following. We ask it in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. Now, there's a lot said today in reference to faith, in reference to confession, in reference to the term and topic that I'll talk about tonight is the authority that you and I have as believers. There's a lot said. I either have to ignore what's said and not deal with it at all, or I have got to come to a conclusion as to what I believe God has to say about the matter and then try to teach what I believe God says in the Word. And so I can't ignore it. I can't ignore what's going on in the world today. I cannot ignore what's taught in the world today. So I've got to deal with it in my heart, and the Spirit of God has prompted me to begin to deal with it with you tonight. Now, I'm fully aware that many, many great preachers have used both my text and my topic tonight, and there's not anything new under the sun. I learned some years ago that when I came up with something I thought was just totally new and nobody else had preached on it, and I'd found something unique in the Word, that it wasn't that way. Somebody else had already found it and done a better job with it a long time before I got a hold of it. And when I find that a lot of people are saying the same things that I am or in the same vein that I'm saying them, then I'm appreciative of that, because it lets me know that we're all hooked into the same line and the same channel. So it doesn't bother me that somebody else is saying the same thing or along the same line. In fact, it encourages me when it's that way. I want to call your attention to this truth tonight that I want to speak about and talk about, both to enlighten you and encourage you. And probably more encouragement than enlightenment, because I dare say probably most of you are already enlightened in this area of Scripture. But tonight, you and I that are born again, blood-washed, Spirit-filled believers are in enemy territory. Now, I'm not talking about First Assembly and Elkhart being enemy territory, but we are in enemy territory tonight. When we're living in this world, we're living in enemy territory. The enemy of our soul will do everything that he can to destroy us, to try to keep us from living for God, to try to stop us in our walk, in our journey toward heaven, in our journey to live a successful Christian life. But we don't have to be afraid. God didn't give us the spirit of fear. It wasn't fear that he gave us. He gave us power, and he gave us love, and he gave us soundness of mind. And we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. We can rise up and begin to repossess the land that the devil's taken from us, and we need to rise up, take our stand on resurrection ground tonight, and to begin to declare alive the new creation over which the devil does not have any power, and to declare dead the old creation over which he had power, and allow Jesus to begin to rise up in our hearts and take a victory stand in our lives. Hallelujah. You and I tonight, if we're born again, if we're part of the family of God, are one with Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 1 and 27 tells us that it's Christ within us. That's the hope of glory. That is the hope of glory. The resurrected Jesus living inside of my heart and inside of your heart tonight. And from that position of oneness with Jesus Christ, of unity with Jesus Christ, of relationship with Jesus Christ, if you'll let me use the right term tonight, relationship with Jesus Christ. And from that we can reckon dead the old man and declare alive the new man and begin to rise up and be made whole in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. From that position and that relationship, you and I tonight have delegated authority. That we have been delegated authority by Jesus Christ by virtue of relationship. And therefore, what we need to do is rise up and to begin to enforce the victory of Calvary. Now, I'm convinced that a lot of people are living beneath their privilege today spiritually. I'm convinced a lot of people do not rise up to the place spiritually that God would have them rise. They are intimidated needlessly by the devil in many situations and in many cases when God never intended it to be that way. You and I, if we're born again believers, need to rise up, begin to enforce the victory of Calvary, and when the enemy comes in like a flood, we need to depend on God to lift up a standard against him. We need to stand unshaken, to stand on the word of Almighty God, and when we do that, the enemy of our soul has to flee. And oh, folks, I want you to understand in John 16:11, the Bible teaches us that the devil has already been judged and already been overthrown. That he is already a defeated foe. He is already a conquered foe. So you and I need to enter into the victory that Jesus has already won for us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. I wonder tonight, how many people really grasp the full impact of what it means for Jesus to have won victory for us on the cross. I wonder tonight how many of us really grasp the full impact of Jesus' victory. You see, the work that he did for us and in us is phenomenal. What Jesus has done in our lives is mind-boggling. When I began to stand and look at what he's done, I cannot even comprehend it all of what our Lord's done. But folks, I wonder how many of us tonight have actually heard Jesus speak to us and the Spirit of God spoken to us and said, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy." I wonder how many times it's nothing more than a verse on a printed page, and it's nothing more than a promise that he made in the Word of God, and it's nothing more than something we'll pull up out of a little precious promise box, and it doesn't mean any more than that to us. But how many of us have had the Spirit of God speak to us personally and individually and directly and say, "Behold, I give you power over the power of the enemy"?
Hallelujah!
And if we've heard that, then tonight we need to rise up and we need to assert our rights and our authority for the glory of Almighty God. We need to give the command of faith tonight and assert the dominion that Jesus has given us and refuse to go under when Satan attacks our soul. Hallelujah! But we need to remember tonight who's in charge. Neighbor, I want you to know God's still in charge tonight. He's never lost control and he's never lost power. Hallelujah! When I talk about the authority of the believer, you don't get too quiet on me now. I'll get nervous. And if I get nervous, I preach longer. When I talk about the authority that you and I and the right that you and I have as a child of God, then aside from salvation and aside from the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I don't know any doctrine that yields more immediate joy and relief and victory than this truth. Because we're one with Him, we can reign with Him. Nothing I know of from the Word of God of understanding our position in Christ affords us more blessing, more benefit, and more power to the prayer life than understanding who you are in Jesus Christ. You see, if you don't know who you are, then you do not come boldly to the throne of grace. You will never be able to enter into the throne room of God with boldness and begin to enter in before the throne of heaven without feeling total intimidation and feeling that you've got to somehow become worthy to stand in the presence of God. Neighbor, none of us are worthy. But He makes us worthy by His blood. But when I begin to understand by His declaration who I am, and that I'm a blood-washed, born-again child of the King, and that I'm an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that I am made the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, that I have been given access to the throne room of heaven, and that I can come any time that I choose, I can come under any circumstance and in any situation, and enter right into the presence of God, and know that when I enter there, I'll not be turned out, but I'll be turned a receptive ear, and Jesus will be my mediator. Then I can enter into the throne room of God, and it doesn't matter what I take before heaven. I can take anything that I need to and be confident God's going to hear me. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not talking about making Jesus a Santa Claus tonight. I'm not talking about Him making Him a candy store or a vending machine. I'm not talking about putting in the right thing and pulling the right lever and getting Him to pay off. That's not what I'm talking about. But I'm talking about a relationship with Him in which He has total control of our lives and He's able to move in our lives and live through us. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But the devil is a master deceiver. The devil is a master at deception, and he blinds people in this world. The Bible said the god of this world hath blinded the mind of those in this world. You see, there are many people that sit on church pews, that go to church every Sunday, that are part of regular worship services, that have their name on the church roll. They've been baptized into the church. They accept the creeds and the doctrine of the church, and they participate in the church both physically and financially and every other way, that are sitting there, and they never see, nor do they ever believe, nor do they ever assume their rightful position and authority in Jesus Christ. They're just flowing with the tide. They're just moving wherever they happen to be moved to. They're flowing however they happen to flow, and they never go upstream. You see, the devil knows only too well tonight that when an average believer, when an ordinary believer, when an ordinary child of God discovers who he is in Jesus Christ and the power that's available to us through the name of Jesus Christ, then he understands that he can no longer intimidate us, but that we are going to rise up and be victorious and put him to flight. Hallelujah to the Lamb. But Satan's running a bluff tonight. But that bluff seems to be working, because he has a massive part of this great army of God scared literally out of their wits. You say, no, that's not true. But it is true.
I talk to too many people. I counsel with too many people. I run into too many people that are part of churches that are scared to death of the enemy. They spend most of their conscious hours thinking about what the devil's doing to them, or what he's going to do to them, or what he has done to them, rather than thinking about what Jesus has done through his work on the cross and his resurrection from the dead and his work inside of our lives.
Hallelujah. You see, tonight we cannot believe what we do not know, and we know. And having come to know, we can appropriate. We are more than conquerors to him that loves us. If you are a child of God tonight, then you have authority, according to this book, over the forces of hell. According to this book, you have authority over the forces of hell. You have legal rights in Jesus, and God wants you to exercise for his glory the legal might that you have in the name of Jesus. Here's what we need to do. Several things. I've used up half my time already. I'm glad there's a glare on that clock. I can't see it yet. You see, it doesn't make any difference, or it really doesn't accomplish much, if I don't define what I'm talking about. Have you ever sat in a situation, and I know that the preacher's here tonight would understand this completely, that you'd spend an entire message talking about something and you never really gave a clear definition of what you're talking about, and people went away still wasn't real sure what you were meaning because they didn't understand your basis. Well, I need to give a definition of what I'm talking about when I say authority tonight. And I realize that I'm running into a little bit of danger, because if I make any statement of reference at all, as I'm going to in a moment, somebody's going to probably take offense, because after all, the King James Version was good enough for Paul and Silas, it ought to be good enough for us. I didn't know Paul and Silas used it. Hang on, I use it almost exclusively. But there are two words in the New Testament, not to try to give you a Greek lesson tonight, that are interchangeably translated power, but they're not consistent in the King James Version. One of the words is dunamis, from which we get our word dynamo or dynamite, speaking of power. And it's the most often translated word and should be consistently translated power. The other is the word exousia, which is translated power, and is taken from the verb meaning it is lawful. And to be most consistent, it would be translated authority. Now, some people have said to me, well, now, wait a minute, there's no difference, and it doesn't matter. The translators did not have any problem there. There's no problem. But I'm going to say, make a statement to you tonight that I believe, and I believe God has the ability and the intelligence to say what he means and to mean what he says. And if he uses two different words in the same sentence, are the same group of sentences, and uses two different words, he evidently meant two different things. You hear what I'm saying? And that we may translate them the same words, but if they're two different Greek words, then I'm kind of convinced that he meant something else, not just the same thing. In Matthew 28:18, the scripture says in the King James Version, all power, but the word power is exousia. All exousia is given unto me in heaven and earth. Authority. Luke 19:10 is even more clear of what I'm talking about. Jesus said to the disciples, behold, I give you exousia, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all of the dunamis of the enemy. I give you authority to tread over all of the power of the enemy. Authority denotes proven might tonight. It rests upon the power at its source. It's delegated power. It's legal standing backed up by the power of his name. And what Jesus is saying, I give you the authority to use my name, and if I have to, I'll bring all the legions of heaven to bear on this thing to see that it comes to pass. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. You see that little policeman that's got that little badge on his chest,
He does not have the power in himself necessarily to make you obey the law, but he has the authority to see to it. And if he can't do it in himself, he can call out some reinforcements. And if they can't handle the job, he can call out the state police. And if they can't handle the job, they can call out the National Guard. And if they can't handle the job, he can call out all of the military might of the United States of America. All of that authority is vested in that little bag. Oh, neighbor, I want you to know, I might have more power than he does, but I don't have more authority than he does. And Jesus said, I give you authority to tread upon all of the power of the enemy, and I'll back it up with my name. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory to God. That's what I'm talking about tonight. You see, the devil understands something that we don't a lot of the time. The devil understands the fact that Jesus has given the church his authority, that he has granted to us authority. And hell fears the believer, the child of God, that found out this truth and appropriated this authority into his life. Hallelujah. Jesus has given us his authority because Jesus has given us himself. Hallelujah. Glory. It's because he lives in me that I have that authority. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But is there a need? Is there a need for this authority tonight? We're in intense warfare. In the city I live, in Tyler, I am aware personally of several covens of witches that are active and operational in Tyler. I'm aware of occultic practices going on. I'm aware of seances that are taking place. Zen Buddhism is in Tyler. As a matter of fact, the Buddhists have bought a piece of property in Lindale, Texas, to build a temple. Many of the Eastern religions are making their way into our state. They're on almost every college campus in America today. They're running rampant. In fact, I saw a statistic here sometime back that listed 7 U.S. senators and congressmen that were warlocks. I'm not going to call their names tonight because they really don't affect you locally. They affect you nationally. But is there a need for authority, this authority tonight? I say yes. You see, neither hell nor earth can suppress the child of God that knows his authority in Jesus Christ. And it's time for the church to rise up and be counted in this world we're living in today. Father, we come to you tonight in the name of Jesus. We pray, Master, that you reach forth your divine hand and by the mighty power of the Spirit of God move, minister to every life tonight in Jesus' name. I want you to do something with me tonight. I wasn't, but I feel prompted to do it. I want you to take a piece of paper. If you've got an enemy, put his foot on your throat. You've got an obstacle, oppression, a fear. You need guidance. You need deliverance. You need healing. Whether it's spiritual or physical or financial or emotional or whatever it is, I want you to take it. If you need a piece of paper, I've got some cards I borrowed from the pastor here behind his pulpit. If you need them, we'll get them to you. Put your hand up if you do, and I'll get somebody to slip it back to you. I want you to take it, and whatever that thing is, I want you to write it down. I preached in this vein some time ago and had a gentleman that when I brought people to the front, he didn't wait on me. He wrote something down on that card, and tears began to stream down his face, and when he reached the front, he threw it down. He went... He was a dignified businessman that didn't act that way. He said, Brother Beard, I have been oppressed of the devil for months. And he said, this morning, Jesus set me free. That's the end of the game. When you do, I want you to hold that card in your hand. I want you to come up here to the front. If you come stand up here in the front of this building, hallelujah. Once you've written it down, I want you to come. I'm not playing a game. I'm not playing a game tonight. I don't believe everybody in this building has got big. Matter of fact, I know everybody in this building doesn't have victory because the Lord made me very, very aware of 2 or 3 things this evening that he wants to set you free. He wants you to have the liberty that you want in your heart. He wants to set you free tonight. There's a person here tonight that you've resisted authority most of your life. You've battled with it. You've always thought they were picking on you. You've always felt that it wasn't your fault. It was their fault.
You've also felt like that you had the answer, and by virtue of that, you became almost totally unteachable, and God wants to set you free at that moment. If you've written something on a card, I want you to come. If you haven't, then I'm going to conclude this service. I want you to come. Just stand here to pray. Other others, I don't want to make it. I want you here. If you're battling something, I want you to come.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you. I'll be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.